Welcome to the Life of a Visual Storyteller podcast. It is the 31st of July, 2015, and this is episode 31. Thank you again for listening. Today, I'm going to talk about the bane of every creative's life, or certainly a bane of one of the banes of my life, and that is when we have to do things again, the do-over. When we've created a piece of work and it's just not right or it's just not good enough. And I don't know, maybe you're like me, but I'm one of these people. I will look for some kind of value, some kind of redeeming feature in what I've created. Anything that will make it that I don't have to do it all over again. But of course, sometimes we have to. We have to do the work again. Sometimes it's because we know if we do the work again, the improvement will be so large, it will make the original look like we scribbled it off the back of a napkin or a doily or a beer mat. And then it has to be done. Or it might just be that it is wrong. And that's what happened to me today. I've spent a good chunk of today doing stop motion animation for Show and Tell, for Show and Tell's introductory video, if you like. What does Show and Tell do? And it needs to be done again. It's not quite right. And it's okay. I'm relaxed that it has to be done again. But at the same time, I do keep looking at it going, do I really need to do it again? The thing is, nothing changes. Every time I go back and I look at the sequence that I've filmed so far, the pixies haven't appeared, the magic elves have not got into the computer and corrected everything. No, it really does need to be done again. Such are the frustrations of the creative life. And what about you? What are you like? I mean, are you somebody who easily goes, okay, we'll do that again, or do you resist it? Or in fact, are you the opposite? Are you somebody who says, look, if I, every single time that I see an imperfection in what I've created, went back to do it again, I'd never finish. I'd never get anything done. I'd never get something to the point of delivery. Because of course, there's a difference between something needing to be done because it's not quite right, or it's not good enough, or it has some shortcomings, and something not being quite right in our own mind because it's not 100% perfect. And that can stop us as well. That can be a bad thing. That can be, because that can stop us from delivering a project, which may well be absolutely fantastic. But in our mind's eye, we know that one frame, that one thing, that one brush stroke isn't quite right. That one thing in the picture that we can't take out. Sometimes that can be a hindrance as well. But anyway, that's what I was going to talk about today, the do-over, and I have to do over the animation sequence that I photographed earlier today. Oh, and it's taken me so long to actually get round to filming this thing. Not to worry, it's a bank holiday weekend. I'm sure I'll find time over the weekend to recapture that sequence. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you again soon. Hey, come in. It's the end of the month. So let's just compare on a fitness front July with June. And I'm going to be going through the statistics provided to me by my Runkeeper app on my phone, which I carry around with me when I go running or I enter my swimming details into it, because believe you me, I would not want to bring this into a swimming pool. So in June, let's look at June first. In June, I did 79.6 kilometers of exercise. I either walked, I ran, or I swam. Those are the things that my runkeeper tracks for me. So 79.6. In July, now bearing in mind that in July I had to not exercise for a week because I was injured, I did 121.6 miles. So that is almost, no it is, isn't it? It's exactly 40 kilometers more. 121.6 kilometers. Is that right? No, it's not, is it? It's complete nonsense what I'm saying here. it's a bit more than 40, isn't it? Yes. Arithmetic, mental arithmetic was never my strong suit. So that's good. 121.6 kilometers up from 79.6 kilometers. Now my average pace, you'll enjoy this. So my average pace in June was 9 minutes and 42 seconds per kilometer. 9 minutes and 42 seconds. And in July, that is now a whopping 17.01. Now you might be wondering, well, how the hell has that happened? How are you suddenly so much slower in July? And I think it's because I'm having the app track, and I'm also entering walks that I do. And of course, my walks are much slower than my running, so that would account for that. I had 36 activities that I either logged or were tracked by RunKeeper, as opposed to 20 in June. So again, another big step up. Calories burned. In June, I burnt 6,767.1 calories. So 6,767.1 in June. In July, 11,831.6 calories. So again, another massive leap. Now, the massive leap is A, because I'm recording these walks that I do. And it's also because I'm running longer now, of course. I've added those kilometers to my runs. 7.5 is my kind of standard run. 10K is my long run. And that will increase over the course of August. So big leap there. Now, if you go back to when I was saying that I wanted to burn 77,000 calories, well, goodness me, I could do that at this rate. I could do that in 7 months. But bear in mind, again, I didn't exercise for an entire week. Had I done so, I would probably have topped out at almost 16,000 calories. Wow, that is considerable. And time spent exercising, that's an interesting one as well. In June, 12 hours and 53 minutes and 24 seconds. And in July, I spent 21 hours, 43 minutes and 25 seconds exercising. So that's another massive increase, and that's fantastic. Now, I can tell you this. I went for a run today, 7.5 kilometers, and I did the Rich Roll thing. Well, I call it the Rich Roll thing. You might not know what that is. I read in his book, Finding Ultra, about running within yourself. Certainly if you're training for ultra distances or ultra endurance things. And for me at the moment, a marathon is an ultra. It's not technically an ultra distance, but for me in my head and for my current body and body shape, it is an ultra distance. And he, in his book, mentioned this training in zone two, which is it's a comfortable running pace. So I did that. And also when I ran up the hill, I didn't increase my efforts. There's a hill in the run that I do, and normally I increase my effort to keep my pace up, and it raises my heart rate and I start panting and everything. All the things that are moving you out of zone two in terms of what your body's doing and comfort, I suppose. And today I did the opposite. I actually slowed down. Now, here's the astonishing thing. I ran my third fastest 7.5 kilometer run by running well within myself. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that just the most bizarre thing? But whatever it is, it seems to be working. And I can sense also that my average pace will start to increase from here, which is something I'm keen to do, but it's not my main focus. My main focus is getting kilometers into my legs for the marathon next year and then for the ultra marathon in about a year's time. So distance for me is everything. And I have to say as well, at the end of the run, I felt fantastic. I felt really good, and I haven't felt tired and lethargic all day, which I have in previous weeks where I've gone for a run and then it's just wiped me out for the rest of the day. I felt really energized, so I feel there's some kind of tipping point has happened. So July was a great month, and I'm really looking forward to what I can achieve in August, and again, what leaps and in increases I can make in calories burned, distance run, amount of time exercised, and also just really enjoying the running and really enjoying the swimming. And at the end of it, having like high energy levels for the rest of the day. I'll talk to you again soon. I've gone a bit long today. I hope you are well. I hope you are fit. I hope you too are exercising, and I'll talk to you again soon.